Well, today in God's Word, we're looking at Matthew 6, and it's the start of Matthew 6, and when we, traditionally, I guess, it started one chapter, it's good to review the one before. And Matthew 5, of course, just quickly reviewing, is the Sermon on the Mount, starting with the Beatitudes. Lots of practical instruction for living, and I encourage you, maybe if you haven't picked up on all of those times we've been to have a look over this afternoon and looking at the headings here, how Jesus fulfills the law, how to deal with murder in our hearts and practically, adultery, divorce, oaths, retaliation, and finishing on love. That's sort of Matthew 5 summarized very quickly. Some heavy hitting stuff, straight into it, straight off the bat. And we start in Matthew 6 here with almost a summary of Matthew 5. And I'd like to read us to read together just the first four verses. Matthew 6, reading from verse 1 to verse 4. "Take heed you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you as we turn to your word this morning, that it be light and life to us. Speak to us, Lord. We may have heard or read this passage many times before, but as we often pray, illuminate to us, so reveal to us what this would mean for us in our going forward life, as it were, what this means for us going forward. And we thank you again that you chose to speak these words at the start of your ministry, that we would hear them clearly. Help us to hear clearly this morning. Amen. They said never. They say never neglect a but. Something is said, but, and then after the but is quite significant. Well, you must have a but in this speech because the Sermon of the Mount is running across Matthew 5, 6, and part of Matthew 7. But the first words that we have here in Matthew 6, verse 1 is take heed or beware, almost like a but. Hey, I've said all this stuff. Now, take heed as you do your charitable deeds. And I want to emphasize this, is that we sort of hope, I guess, when anyone is speaking, I've started listening to some podcasts, and I listen to them because I think they're worth listening to, and because I think all of it's worth listening to. But there's certain times, certain times in the podcast, the person will say, in summary then, or what I feel to say to you is, or this is what you need to know, phrases like that. And so while all of it's important, there's a particular emphasis on some parts. And there seems to be an emphasis here that Jesus is saying, take heed particularly here. Now, it's not that we don't take heed of all the things in Matthew 5 that we've looked at. They're all important. But it seems to be at this point there is a pause and a reflection. Take heed, beware. As you apply this stuff, this is how you should do it. So charitable deeds are what I want to talk about this morning. It's this passage, Matthew 6, 1 to 4, but there's a way in which we do it. Many years ago, there was a summary or a new undertaking to, I'm showing my extreme ignorance here. Does anybody know what language they speak in Singapore? Is there a particular... Thank you. Yes, Mandarin Chinese. And there's also some other, lesser known languages. I think that's the main language. So some Bible scholars got some people who spoke Mandarin and got them together to develop a lesser known dialect. I know it wasn't the main one. And they thought, well, if we're going to have a book of the Bible, what will we get? And they thought, well, let's pick one of the Gospels. And the Chinese who were involved in the translation for them weren't Christians. Had no faith background particularly that they could even acknowledge, but they said, this is a sacred, holy book. We need to start at the start. And it was amazing. The translators thought, hey, they've observed something here. We just want to get to the good stuff, or pick one of the Gospels and translate it. And even those outside of the faith who are linguists are saying, it's really important you start at the start. And what the amazing story of the translation is, those that were involved in the translation came to faith in Jesus Christ in the first four words of the Old Testament. in the beginning God. Now, you wouldn't think there was an evangelistic message in the beginning God. However, for these guys, they could not get past that at the very beginning. And they went over and over and over in their minds. And sometimes I think and I've been guilty of doing this myself, read large swathes of scripture and sort of skip over the bits here. But in the summary here, the reason I want to emphasize that, like Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, or the start of Genesis 1, there is specific words here that are given that we can skip over. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds. So in the first few verses here, there's some hints about it. Firstly, it speaks to me very clearly, once we've had the take heed or beware, firstly, that there are charitable deeds that we are to do. And they're our charitable deeds, they're not someone else's. Now, when you stand up here to say anything, hopefully for those of us who bring a message, there's a degree of practicing what we preach. And so I've been wrestling with this, how do I do these charitable deeds the last few weeks? Now, last week we had the baptism service and I felt to speak a passage on baptism, but I'd already prepared this. So I've had 2 weeks to practice, literally practice charitable deeds, as it were. Another week, I'm told, and the habit will be set. There are 3 weeks to make a habit. But I'm interested, as I've read that out, some of you will be thinking in your Bibles, mine reads a little differently. Now, some of you, as we'll see in Matthew 6, verse 1, some will say about doing charitable deeds, some will say when you practice righteousness. Have some got those alternative readings? And what you see here is 2 ways of interpreting this one key word. We understand the full nature of God is engulfed in justice and mercy, love and truth, the two things that are the both and of the nature that we understand of our living Heavenly Father. And in different ways of understanding and looking at this, is a charitable deed, is it something that you do because it's not just good, but because it's right? Is it something you do because it's not just loving, but it's something truthful? And in different translations, we see here an emphasis more on the justice side of things, and others we see more emphasis on the mercy. And the more you sit and look at it and pass just what is a charitable deed, once again, this beckoning word that we keep saying, it's the both and. So if you have a look and say, is a charitable deed just doing good? Yes, it is doing good, but it's also doing right. Is it just practicing justice? Yes, it is, but it's also practicing mercy. And I say that because your charitable deed, or the one that you do, will probably not look like my charitable deed. In other words, there's things that I would naturally do and enjoy doing if I'm doing good or I'm practicing righteousness, depending on both sides of it. But it might not be the thing that you do. And I've actually found this particularly difficult. And here's the reason. I think Michael suggested this once before. I'm paid to be good. I'm paid to do good. I'm paid to do the things that I enjoy doing anyway and then progress to being a pastor. This is amazing. I'm paid to do what I enjoy doing. But once I'm paid to do it, it's no longer really a charitable deed in a sense because I'm paid to do it. So what does a charitable deed look like for me? What does it look like for all of us? But it's slightly different. I've found it also quite difficult in thinking, this is not sort of, it's my issue, so I have to own it, but it's difficult to do a charitable deed to someone of the opposite sex. That can be, misconstrued. And for a bloke to try and help another bloke doing something, well, guys normally know how they want things done. So if you're going to help another guy with something, it's hard to do a charitable deed that's, as we see here, more anonymous. I'll get to that shortly, to do it sort of in secret. So it's actually quite hard, I've found, to do a charitable deed. And I thought it was just because my role and position was that I'm sort of paid to do the things of good. And I spoke with others about it the last 2 weeks. They've said it's actually quite difficult to do because we're in a country that appears, at least, to have all of the, maybe the good stuff covered in terms of supply of resources. Is there something that we can do? Maybe the scope of those we're doing good to is a little bit narrow because there is definitely need out there. And maybe it's connecting those who need good done to them to those who can provide it. But I wonder, as we begin to explore, what does your charitable deed, and I'm speaking the words that Jesus said, applying to all of us, when you do your charitable deed, and the emphasis also is when you do it, not if you do it. So it seems to be in the context of Jesus telling us how it is that we should live. It's coming to this but, this check, this, listen to this, guys. When you do your charitable deed, each word is important here. So not if you do it, but when you do it. And it seems to be there's something that talks here not of an occasional thing, but of a lifestyle of charitable deeds. Now here I'm quite challenged by my father-in-law, who has his life motto to do one good thing a day. Is that a Boy Scouts thing? No, I think there's something built into some of those service organisations that would be that sort of thing, doing one good deed a day. Now, my father-in-law is a believer and sees this as part of his ministry. Some of the things he might do might not be the things that the person might necessarily choose or want, but nonetheless, it becomes a huge blessing when these things are put together. So I stand before you with no clear answers about what it looks like for each one of us, but there's something to be developed for each one of us when you do your charitable deeds. Jesus already, it seems, even in the short time of communication, bearing in mind the audience he spoke to knew about the law and understanding that there was already an understanding that this was a regular part of our lives. And can I say, maybe it's a little bit of a cop-out to say, well, I put my money in the plate, and I tithe, and we're very grateful that you do that, don't get me wrong. But to say that's the extent of my charitable deeds. Practicing justice or practicing righteousness is a different thing than just practicing goodness. Expressing love in terms of loving kindness is different from maybe expressing mercy. Is different from maybe speaking the truth. And so whether it's practicing righteousness or whether it's practicing mercy, there's an outside of my normal day-to-day life that's actually included here. So I want to encourage us to think about what does my charitable deed look like? And one suggestion that you may find helpful is to ask the person, around near to you, what is it that I like doing? Because it's been said, the old sort of guidance counsel thing, what do you enjoy doing? Find out what that is, and you will be paid for doing what you enjoy doing. You never work a day in your life, type of thing. I know it's cliche, but there's a lot in that. And I have realised over the years my interests have narrowed considerably. I was into lots of other things, and I find now that I enjoy doing a lot less. I call it economy of movement. Laziness is probably another word for it, but I enjoy doing a lot less things, but those things I take a lot of pleasure out of. And one really obscure thing that I've taken pleasure out of is grooming cars. And I like a particularly, it's the interior actually, isn't that strange? Exterior, well, it gets dirty, but I really like a clean interior. And my children may or may not agree with this as a direction to go for the Blackie Fleet, but it would be wonderful to get into a car, any of the cars, and it be clean. Have you ever had that experience and think, wouldn't that be amazing? Just a small aside, but it may well be that I'm called to actually notice that someone else's car needs a groom. It sounds a bit pathetic standing up here saying that, but that's my heart, and I think that there's something in the very way that God has made each one of us that will lead to what our charitable deed is. Because if we look at the emphasis here that Jesus said, it's your charitable deed. If we look and see what someone else is doing and say, I want to do that, and we might try, and we will probably not do it so well necessarily. There's a bit of reflection, I believe, on this passage. Okay, Lord, it seems to be that this is part of the Christian life. This is something you're saying to me that I should be doing. What is that for me? I'm not in the habit of doing it. It seems to be you're saying something about this is to be part of my life, my regular charitable deeds that you are expecting that I will do when? On a regular basis and not if. So probably that's enough on the emphasis there. But I encourage us to take time out and think, what could it be that that is? Secondly, it talks about here, therefore, when you do it, don't sound a trumpet. And in verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, this will speak to some, and I'm sorry that we've heard of this morning about someone having had a stroke, and I know that some of us have had strokes in the past. My dad had a stroke 12 years before he died, and medical profession are lovely when you talk to them, and they talk about a reasonably mild stroke. And a reasonably mild stroke, we've discovered, means quite a doozy, but they don't want to say that. And we realised that Dad was really, one side of the body wasn't going. If we think about here, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. The control for left and right hand is coming from either side of the brain. So if we consider, how is it that our brains are worked and wired up necessarily? They're wired up that the left-hand side of the brain controls the left side and the right hand controls the right side. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not that medical. I haven't looked and seen if you're left-handed or right-handed, whether that's swapped around. But nonetheless, there's a definite thing about either side. So it seems to me we talk about left and right hands. There is something about the nature of the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. The left brain, as we know, is the logic, the reasoning, and some of us are more left-brained. The right side, the creative, the spontaneous, and some of us are more right-brained. There are certain careers that you have, if you're left-brained, the logical, sort of the sciences, and maybe the right brain, more the arts. But there's something about when the two of them come together that Jesus is saying, well, that might be normally a good thing. This time I want you to keep it separate. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So if the left hand, the logic, is let known that the right hand is thinking of something creative or spontaneous, it'll say, hang on, have you thought about the implications of this? So let's say the right hand or the right side of the brain is controlling, which it is, the right hand, and the right hand feels to do something creative, spontaneous, something that is not a logical, thought-out thing, but is a response to a need or something that seemed to be done. And if the left hand or the left side of the brain was actually able to be aware of it, it might say, no, I think there's some thought has to go before this charitable deed is done. But Jesus is instructing us. He knows how we're made. He absolutely knows the complement that normally comes with us. But in this situation, let your right hand go ahead and do it. Your left hand or the left side may find out a bit later and tell off the right hand, but nonetheless, the deed has been done. Because you can explain away the reasons why you shouldn't do anything. I spoke about this a few weeks ago. You see those on the street that are needing some food and your left-hand side can kick in and say, there is no need for anyone in New Zealand not to be able to access some form of help, etc. They don't need the food that I've got here. They don't need my money, and we justify it and walk away. And that may be correct, but the person sitting there hungry. The right side responds and says, I've got something I'm going to, now, boom. Later on, the left side may tell it off necessarily. But there seems to be something quite formative in our Christian lives as Jesus is speaking to those who are new followers of him, saying, yes, in a sense, I made you, but I want you to keep these two things separate when it comes to good deeds. There's another aspect to left and right that I want to emphasize. Sometimes we talk about the person alongside us being our right hand. Now, I just want to introduce my left hand. Honey, would you mind coming up here? Thanks. Those of you who know us and the way our relationship works will probably know the left or logical side of this relationship is Sandra, and the right or spontaneous side is me. And so sometimes there's something that I will do because I'm up late at night and I'm feeling sparked, and something will come up on eBay, one of those special deals, and I'll feel really drawn that I need to invest in that. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, it seems like a really wise thing to do. And I really want it as well. And I don't sort of think too much about the logic. And Sandra's gotten used, I would have to say, getting up in the morning sometimes, said, did you buy something for $68.95 US at 3 o'clock in the morning? And I'm thinking, because I've woken up and you always feel a bit more sensible in the morning, I said, I'm sure I haven't. It's probably some of those scams going on. Someone's got our number and has used our card. So Sandra rings up, etc., and goes through. I thought, flop, that's it. I wonder how many other people got our number. And then I remember, I've got this amazing appliance at home that you could, thank you, dear, I won't embarrass you anymore, that you can, I did buy, that actually it sits beside your bed. It's not that big, and it's like a, you know, those alarm clocks that you have that make your tea and coffee. This is an alarm clock that makes a breakfast. Seriously, it actually sets up. It's got a wee fry pan and a wee oven and then the coffee thing, and you can set it so that in the morning your breakfast is made. I couldn't think of a better thing. And the children came together to buy this for me, which is wonderful of them, really. But I said, look, I'm getting of an age where you might as well buy what I want. So could you put some money and buy this thing? Now, sad to say, it's probably going to go on the free table in a couple of weeks because it hasn't really been used. I tend to stay up late at night and enjoy the odd bite at Denny's. And so in the morning, I'm really not that hungry. Or if I am, it's just a coffee. And I don't like the coffee it does. I prefer something else. Long story short, seemed very sensible and logical. And I was excited about it. But that's the way that I tend to be. And so I need the left side in most situations so that we have home and hearth together, as it were, or suddenly I'll be off buying something else, or it's time to do another thing or a project or whatever, etc. And that's all good. Please hear me. It works very well in the leadership team here at church. But for charitable deeds, if it's giving something away or doing something charitable, Jesus is encouraging us here to keep those two separate. And so there's sometimes things that I will choose to give or do or otherwise, and I'll Sandra will find out later because it'll hit our bank account. And I've realized that everything else I should discuss, but there's some things that I need to do that need to be kept separate. You might find in the relationship that as a bloke, you're the left hand and your wife might be the right hand. But the two in this instance aren't to come together. Because when they come together, we find that often we say, logically, there's a reason why I shouldn't do that. And we've decided ourselves necessarily that's not the case. Perhaps we could look at a verse in Matthew 5 that speaks a little bit. We've had a look at Matthew 6, but it actually talks about the importance of this. So even though we're talking about this in some detail, in Matthew 5 we look before, in 16 it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now it's not that I'm looking at everything here as an evangelism path. It's not that necessarily, but it is. It seems to be that there is something that glorifies God in our good works. People will look at what we're doing, our good works, our charitable works, practicing righteousness, practicing mercy, and say something about that. Why are those people doing that? There's something about Christians when they do good works that will cause them to glorify our Father in heaven. Once again, please hear me, it's both and, it's not just good works. But we're encouraged very early on what Jesus is telling us to do that. If we could also have a look in Galatians, just to give a little bit more context. In Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. So I talked before about being a lifestyle and something we do regularly to the point that it might actually weary us out. It seems to be something about this is, in the book of Galatians, of course, this has been now practiced for some decades, at least as far as we understand. But don't be weary in doing. In other words, it will be something that will take something from you. It will be something that some time or money is invested over and above what we normally do. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Now, here's a challenge. It says, do good to all. That's clear. That's everyone, especially those to the household of faith. I want to sort of finish on that today. Maybe we think that, you know, and it's true, our mission and our witness is to the lost and those outside of the church. But how would it be if when people came in and were found, were saved, that we said, right, off out there again, I'm doing good to all, but not particularly the household of faith? The conclusion you might draw is this is a pretty burdensome type of life that we've brought into here. All we are is automatons, as it were, that are going out and absolutely doing good to all. But as soon as we come in, we realise, I've been nabbed to now be a slave or a servant, and all I am is a do-gooder out into those who do not know the Lord. And yes, they come in. But imagine if that verse was the other way around. I think it's particularly important to understand that, especially to those of the household of faith. This doesn't reduce what we do. This doesn't reduce our good or charitable deeds. But how is it that we could look at amping that up rather than saying, well, they're Christians, they'll understand? Because I think sometimes we do that, we say, oh, yeah, they'll realize that I've been a bit busy because of my ministry. We may make an excuse and say, I don't need to do good to all, or sorry, to the household of faith because I'm busy serving in my ministry. Or, I didn't have enough to contribute here because I'm too busy doing it in the community. There's an encouragement in this doing good to all, especially of those of the household of faith, that is a step up in that for us. So it may well be that as a result of this, we consider how is it we can particularly bless someone here that we've felt that we should do that, but maybe we've thought, no, they're right, they're Christians, they're all good, they understand the deal. My job and my energy and effort is out there in the community. Yes, it is, in the ministry that God has called you to, but especially those of the household of faith. Maybe we could bring that verse up again, Andy, thanks, that last one. And I wonder if we consider, therefore, as we have opportunity, especially to those of the household of faith, there may well be something, just as I close this morning, someone in here that God's put it on your heart. I'm going to close in prayer shortly and pray that prayer. But you may be thinking, hey, I'd probably feel a little bit pushy if I suggested, could I help you with this or that? Or they're very capable people. There's no way necessarily that they would want my help, or they would love to help them in this particular area. I believe that God may be saying something to today, maybe in a new way, in a way that he hasn't said before, about the way in which we can do this. So whether it's done to those in public, absolutely without our left and right hand knowing what's done, but people would see it and praise the Lord, or the outside of the faith or within the faith, there is a calling and encouragement to good works that we may, maybe we've let slip, or maybe we haven't grasped as we could. I just want to close today, and as we finish this part of the service, I'm then going to invite Steve up and lead us after we have our last song. Just as a soft finish, being Pentecost, that we consider in the context of this what it is that God might be saying to us. Let's pray. Lord, show us what this means. You've said that our charitable deeds are something that is specific to us and is to be done on a regular basis. Not something to be fully thought through all the time. There's a spontaneity that you desire from us. And lastly, we see here that we're to do this especially to those of the household of faith. How would it be, Lord, if we came here and we knew that there was a step up in the loving kindness, in the acts of justice, and us going into bat for others, a step up rather than a step down for those in this room, in this household of faith, and in the wider church compared to what we're already being involved in the community. Imagine, Lord, how it would be then, rather than me looking out for myself, that 50 or 60 people are looking out for me. Everyone's doing that. And it means that I'm looking out for others. So, Lord, this seems to be something that's pretty central. You've given us the pause for us to ponder and consider. Take heed. Beware, this is something that's important to do. Show us, Lord. We ask, and as we move into the next part of our service, Holy Spirit, we ask for that infilling and that equipping that be in a different way, in a way that's probably augmented what it may have been in the past. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. Amen.